This is because there is no performance of the purificatory process known as samskaras, which begin from the time of the mother's pregnancy and continue up to the point of the individual's death. No one can be classified as a member of a particular caste, especially of a higher caste, Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, simply by birthright. If one who is not purified by the process of the seed-giving ceremony or Garbhadhan samskar is immediately classified among the Sudras, because only the Sudras do not undergo this purificatory process. Sex life without the purificatory process of Krishna consciousness is merely the seed-giving process of the Sudras or the animals. But Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection by which everyone can come to the platform of a Vaishnava. This includes having all the qualifications of a Brahmana. The Vaishnavas are trained to become free from the four kinds of sinful activities: illicit sex, indulgence in intoxicants, gambling, and eating animal foodstuffs. No one can be on the brahminical platform without having these preliminary qualifications. And without becoming a qualified Brahmana, one cannot become a pure devotee. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 86th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Arjuna Kibnat Subhadra and Krishna Blesses His Devotees. So in these last verses, we see that Sutadev followed the instructions of Krishna and worshipped those Brahmana devotees. Here it talks about the Dvijottama, the best of the Dvijas. And it's not modified by the term Saha Krishna, who were with Krishna. So obviously, because they were with Krishna, they must have been the best of the Dvijas, because only the best people are qualified to accompany Krishna. So he worshipped them with great attention and devotion. And not only he did so, the king also did so. So the one was a Brahmana, one was a Kshatriya, and they both worshipped these Brahmanas who were great devotees. And then it says they attained Shadgatim, they got the ultimate goal because of that. And then the next verse talks about Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. The Lord has devotion to the devotee. Because of that, the Supreme Lord stayed with these two devotees. One was a Brahmana, the other was a Kshatriya. But he treated them equally, not one better than the other. So because Krishna was a Kshatriya, maybe he would favor a Kshatriya and think he's better. Because Krishna's already instructed to the Brahmana, you worship the devotee Brahmana, then one may think that the Shrutadev was superior because he was a Brahmana as well as a devotee, whereas the king was a Kshatriya and a devotee, so therefore more respect should be given to the Brahmana devotee. But no. It says he blessed them both. He lived with them both. He fulfilled both their desires equally. In this way, ultimately the varna was not important at all, but the devotion, and that's the emphasis here. We say bhakta bhaktiman, the Lord is attracted or has very devoted to his devotee. So that is the ultimate qualification for getting the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So because they were devotees, they got the mercy of the Lord and they attained the ultimate destination. And he also gave them instructions. Here it says Sanmarga, and that's commented on the whole next chapter is about the personified Vedas, prayers to the personified Vedas. So it's a continuation of explaining what is this path that Krishna instructed. Then the next section is about, inquires about how can material words communicate something which is spiritual. So the Vedas are the
let's say, the path of spiritual path, but then if they're made out of words, how they can describe the Supreme Lord, who's beyond words. So that's the basic idea behind the prayers of the personified. And then that's explained how the Vedic literature can represent the Supreme Lord and express the Supreme Lord, even though he's beyond the gunas. So anyway, the Lord was merciful to both of these devotees because of their devotion. Here the Lord is described as having bhakti. That usually we think of the devotees as having devotion, and we call bhakti yoga because we practice this to attain prema. But here we see that the Lord has bhakti also. We have bhakti for the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord can have bhakti for himself. So he is bhakti for the devotee. So generally we define bhakti and prema as Krishna anusilanam, cultivating a relationship with Krishna. But we cannot use that same definition for Krishna. He's not cultivating a relationship with Krishna. So here the word changes its meaning a little bit because it indicates the opposite. But that is also so. Because we speak of bhakti in relation to Supreme Lord, and then the devotee is called the Asraya, and the Lord is called the Vishaya. He is the object of love. So we generally speak like that from the devotee's point of view, because we're trying to attain perfection of bhakti and called prema. But the same bhakti operates in the opposite direction from the Supreme Lord to the devotee. So in the case of the Supreme Lord, he also has bhakti, but he is the Asraya and the devotee is the Vishaya. He is the object of love. So then the devotee has a rasa for the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has rasa for the devotee. So it goes both ways. So therefore we can use the terms in the same way, though the Vishaya is different and the Asraya is different. So for the Supreme Lord, the object of devotion is the devotee. And by the relationship with the devotee, in response to the devotee, the Lord has rasa as well. Just as the devotee develops ananda and rasa, so the Supreme Lord himself has rasa and ananda because of the relationship with the devotee. So the definition of the Supreme Lord is he is ananda, he is bliss. And this is often described as the main characteristic of the Supreme Lord, bliss. But how does he experience that bliss? So then the answer is through rasa. So rasa is required, but then rasa requires not just Krishna, but an object of his devotion. And then he can get rasa. So that means that ananda implies that there is Krishna and his devotees. And this is how Krishna experiences ananda. So then we can say that the devotee is essential to the very nature of the Lord, because bliss is essential to the nature of the Lord, so therefore the devotee also is necessary. So that is the explanation. Why does the Lord have a spiritual world at all? Why are there jivas at all? Why does it have a Supreme Lord? And the answer is because of bliss. So the whole spiritual world and the manifestation of the jivas and the devotees is an expression of the Lord's bliss. There is no causal factor. Because he wants to be blissful, then he manifests jivas or whatever like that. The Lord is blissful, then automatically there are jivas serving the Lord, there are devotees there, etc., and rasa exists. So in this way, the devotee and the Lord are eternally manifested together, and this produces ananda. So the Lord experiences bliss, but then the devotee also experiences bliss. It's not just the Lord's bliss, it's also the devotee's bliss. And because of the devotee's bliss, the Lord becomes more attracted to the devotee. So, in this way, the relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord is very, very intense. So if Ananda is the very basis of the Lord, or his main quality, and the devotee is essential to that, then it is no wonder that we describe this the Lord as being very affectionate towards his devotee, as having bhakti for his devotee. It must be so. This is part of the essential nature of the Lord. So we call the Lord Bhaktavatsala. And this is often described as the chief quality of the Supreme Lord. The Lord has countless qualities, but the greatest quality is Bhaktavatsala, affection for his devotees. And as we've seen here, this is beyond material considerations. It is beyond consideration of varna. It is beyond consideration of male or female, young or old, or whatever. And it's even beyond consideration of human form or animal form or whatever, because see, Garuda's an animal form in the spiritual world, and he's bird form. So, and he's a great devotee. Or you have Hanuman, who's a monkey, and he's a great devotee. So it's not even restricted to human forms. It could be any form, but main idea is devotion. They are devotees. The Lord is attracted to his devotees. So, a very, very essential quality of the Lord. So this becomes an attractive quality. The Lord has many qualities, and for people of devotees of lower understanding, they often appreciate the greatness of the Lord, power of the Lord. Like we say, we're eternal Krishna Das, so therefore we are eternally the servant. The Lord is eternally a powerful person, and we are somewhat little specks. So that's how we our initial acceptance of the Lord, that he is quite different from us, and that we have to serve him. This, of course, has positive aspects. It gets rid of our pride. But it also has some negative aspects, in the sense that it can obstruct the relationship. So we can think of the Lord as all-powerful, and then we'll all start thinking of the Lord as, because he's all-powerful, then he's going to punish us. And then we have fear of the Lord. So our relationship becomes not an affectionate relationship, it becomes a fearful relationship, based on fear. Because the Lord will punish us, therefore we have to obey him, because he's all supreme, etc. So if this becomes prominent, that will say disturb the affectionate relationship. Though we do accept the prime position of the Supreme Lord, he's the supreme independent, etc., and that's essential for the performance of bhakti, understand the difference between the Lord and the jiva. At the same time, in order to experience real bliss, that barrier of too much reverence and fear has to disappear, or at least become minimized. Otherwise, the bhakti aspect cannot function properly. Of course, in all forms of the Lord, the same dynamic is there between the affection and the fear aspect, or respect. And of course, in Vaidhi Bhakti itself, this is quite prominent. But even there, if one comes to the stage of realizing the Lord, whether it is Vishnu or Krishna or Rama or anyone, in Bhava and Prema, then that the fear aspect diminishes quite a lot. The respect also diminishes somewhat, and the affection is very spontaneous at that point. But if one has done Vaidhi Bhakti, then there is still a trace of that great respect and regard for the Supreme Lord. And that will also be manifested in the form of the Lord that one realizes. So one will realize a Lord with a great majestic form, with displaying majestic qualities. So then naturally we feel some reverence there. Nevertheless, if a person through Vaidhi Bhakti attains bhava, then he does have spontaneous affection for the Lord, and he gets prema also. So he's not deprived of prema because of that. But nevertheless, there's some little bit of restriction because of that feeling of reverence. In the case of Krishna, if we worship Krishna as he is in Vrindavan, then we develop a realization where that reverence disappears completely, and the affectionate relationship becomes overrides everything else. We could say that produces the highest bliss for the devotee and for the Supreme Lord. Of all the devotees in the spiritual world, who gets the most mercy? That is the question asked in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then the conclusion is the people of Vrindavan get the most mercy because they have the closest relationship with Krishna. They get the highest bliss. So how can they get the highest bliss? Because they get the most mercy from Krishna. So what? Because Krishna is most attracted to them. He gets the most mercy, bliss from them. So therefore the devotees in Vrindavan are the ultimate devotees. So this phrase here, bhakta bhakti man, he has bhakti for his devotees. That is true in all cases where there is devotion. So he is attracted to devotees doing sadhana. They're not pure, but doing sadhana. And even he's attracted to those doing mixed bhakti, as in the case of Gajendra and others. But of course, he's more attracted to those doing pure bhakti. And that is stated in Bhagavad Gita, where he talks about the four types of devotees, but the best one is the Gyani, who doesn't have material mixture in his devotion. So the devotee who's doing the sadhana, but it's pure sadhana, then he is, more affection from the Supreme Lord. But then, one who has bhava, how is the Lord's more attracted? Because he reveals himself to that person. And then one who has prema, the Lord is Krishna Karshani. That type of bhakti, of prema, attracts Krishna and controls Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is more attracted even to the prema bhakta. So it comes in, like I say, degrees. Krishna's attraction and affection for the devotees is of various amounts according to the particular type of devotees. And then even in prema, that prema is manifested differently. So Vishnu has prema for his devotees also. And then Rama has prema for his devotees. And then Krishna has prema for his devotees. So in these different forms of the Lord, then that affection is manifested in different strengths. And when we get to Krishna, then that's the ultimate strength with Krishna. And even in Krishna, then, that in Dwarka is less, and that in Vrindavan is most. So therefore, in this way, the Krishna displays the most affection for the people of Vrindavan. And even though he's in Dwarka, as Narada Muni experiences, he's in Dwarka, he's always thinking of Vrindavan. So when he's sleeping, then he's dreaming of Vrindavan. When he's awake, he's thinking of Vrindavan. So he's more attracted to the people of Vrindavan than he is to the people in Dwarka. So in this way, he shows the most affection and attraction for the people of Vrindavan, and he's most under their control, ultimately. So within sadhana and then within prema itself, we get various degrees in which the Lord expresses his affection for his devotees until we get ultimate devotees. So these two devotees are not Brajavasis. They are outside of Mithila. So they're, we can say, equivalent to the Dwarka type pastimes like that, in which they have also respect mixed with their worship. Nevertheless, they were highly qualified. And it says they attain the supreme destination, so they must have been at the last stages of sadhana or into bhava already, and therefore the Lord appeared to them, and then they got prema and they went to the spiritual world. But then their devotion is a little bit different from the devotion of the people of Vrindavan, because that is not tinged at all by the respect that is shown to Krishna in his Dwarka form. But the Lord responds to each devotee according to his that devotee's own mood. So that's also an explanation of the verse, as you surrender unto me, I respond. So that's not just for material world or whatever, but also within bhakti itself, the Lord responds according to the aspirations of these different devotees. So Sruta Deva and Bahulasva aspire in one way to see the Lord in this particular form and with a particular mood, and the Lord responds to that and he rewards them accordingly, and they get a spiritual form suitable for that type of service in the spiritual world. And the people of Vrindavan aspire differently, and they see Krishna in a much different way, and those who follow after that path also attain a similar type of destination. So the Lord responds to the particular desires of the devotee. It's up to the devotee to decide how he wants to worship the Lord. And then Lord responds to that. So there's a question asked, well, why does the Lord have so many forms? And then the answer is because there's so many devotees. And the devotees all are individuals, and they want to see the Lord differently, and they have different mood for the Lord. So the Lord manifests these different forms. So even in the form of Krishna, different devotees are there. So the Lord manifests himself slightly differently. So he manifests himself differently for Mother Yasoda, differently for the gopis, differently for the cowherd boys, slightly differently. And the devotees experience something different. Or as in Mathura, when Krishna went to Mathura, then 12 different types of people experience Krishna completely differently. Some in Sakya Rasa, some in Vatsalya Rasa, some in Madhurya Rasa, some in Bionic Rasa, some in Jugupsa Rasa, some in Abhutud Rasa, some in Shanta Rasa, so some in Dasya Rasa, all secondary and primary rasas, they respond. Because they were different types of persons. Of course, some of those relationships were not even rasa, a direct rasa. They were, because they were expressed in enemies like Kamsa. And the enemies, so the fear rasa and the anger rasa were not real rasas at all. They were material in one sense because they had no favorable relationship with Krishna. But anyway, even with the demons then, the Lord manifests himself differently. They saw Krishna with fear and anger, whereas the devotees didn't see that at all. None of the devotees saw that. Even the yogis didn't see him like that. They saw him in Shantarasa. So the Lord also responds to the non-devotees differently, all according to their type of mood, according to their level of consciousness. So in this way, the Lord actually responds to everyone, but he responds to the devotee with devotion. And in that devotion, he responds according to the different level of and mood of affection that the devotee has. And that's quite proper. Why? Because the Lord likes to please his devotee. So therefore, he responds in a way most suitable and pleasing to the devotee, which shows that the Lord is under control of his devotee.
Is there any difference between the Lord being Bhakta Bhaktiman and
Bhakta Vatsala? Same thing, same thing. Bhaktiman or Vatsala, the same affection.
This variegatedness in the souls created for the pleasure of the Lord, it is controlled by the Lord himself or the three gunas?
Variegated? Variegatedness of course is in the three gunas, but that's material. But each soul, by its very definition, is different. He's a different individual. If they're all the same individual, in different consciousness, something like a yogi expanding himself into different forms, or Krishna expanding himself into different forms, so it's one jiva expanded into many with the same consciousness, then that would be one jiva manifested in many forms. But that's not what the jiva is. The jiva is individual particles of consciousness with a sense of their own I. So therefore they're all individuals by nature. And the jiva by nature is an individual with his own particular perception, sense of I, etc. And so he has his freedom to choose just what he wants to do, how he wants to see, etc.
Dvija Uttama, so topmost brahmanas, that means what, these brahmanas are the better than other Brahmanas because they have accepted Krishna.
Obviously.
In the text 55, the question from the.
Of course, you can say sometimes the word Dvijottama is just simply used as he was a very good Brahmana, which means he was following. He was not a Brahmana in name only, which is also there, which is also okay in one sense, but then better than that is a Brahmana who's following properly everything, and then better than that is at least he's following all the rules of a Brahmana, but then one who has full understanding of the proper conclusion of the Vedas, he's a better Brahmana even. He's the best Brahmana, we can say. And then if he has devotion to Krishna, then he's developed prema, then he would be the best Brahmana.
The text 55, 3 verse before, is a question on the internet. As per the verse, ignorant of this truth, foolish people neglect and enviously offend a Brahmana, who being non-different from me, is a spiritual master and very self.
What's
is
that?
The translation.
55,
text 55.
55.
So question is, who are those people who are enemies of Brahmana and why they are enemies of Brahmana?
Well, it could be anybody. It could be an envious person in the Varnashram system, a Sudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya, say, why the Brahmanas are getting such respect? Of course, then they're not real members of the Varnashram system in that case, but we do see cases like that, that the Kshatriyas start protesting against the Brahmanas, and then they take away the Brahmanas, they kick the Brahmanas out. We see, who was it, the King Vena, he completely disregarded the Brahmanas. Like that. So we get envious individuals who are from lower Varnas, but actually they're not even in the Varnashram system. It could be such people. And particularly we find the demons like Hiranyakasipu or Kamsa, for instance. Kamsa, he wanted to stop the Brahmanas doing sacrifices, and if we stop the Brahmanas and persecute them, then the Vishnu gets injured because he's dear to the Brahmanas, etc. So demons, of course, will also do that disrespect. Not only the Brahmanas, they'll disrespect everybody in the Varnashram system, or devotees also. Of course, more than this is those people who commit aparadha against the devotees, whether they are Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Sudras, or Mlechas, or anything. If they're devotees and a person offends them, that's even worse. That's a much worse thing. In terms of devotion, because they can't advance devotionally. Here, if it's simply a Brahmana, then one can go to hell or something like that. But then, if one offends a devotee, then one is not only goes to hell, but a possibility of bhakti is blocked. So, it's even worse effect for the devotees. And of course, then we have people in the Varnashram system, the Brahmanas could be devotees also, so that's because it's double aparad. They offer offense against a devotee as well as simply offending the Brahmana.
What about one Brahmana offending another Brahmana? We say sometimes Smartha Brahmanas offending, having argument with the Vaishnava Brahmana.
Well, I guess that you say the Brahmanas themselves showing bad qualities. Because it's showing their lack of qualification as Brahmanas, so they have Brahmana and name only. We see the case of King Nirga, the two Brahmanas began arguing, it's my cow, and he says, no, it's my cow, or whatever like that. So, and then they got angry at the king also, so that was also not, we can say, proper conduct either.
Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada and some other acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they seem to suggest that practicing Vaidhi Bhakti will give rise to Raganuga Bhakti.
Well, it can if one gets association of devotees who are attracted to Krishna in that particular way and get influenced that way, or get exposed to the Bhagavatam, etc., and start reading the Bhagavatam. So obviously to develop Raganuga, we have to start somewhere. So it's said that how it develops is you hear Bhagavatam and then become attracted to those pastimes of Krishna, etc. So then we hear from devotees, etc. So one could start with Vaidhi or whatever. One could start with nothing and just start Raganuga. It is possible, probably rare, but Vishnu Chakravarti indicates that one could start Shraddha. The Shraddha could start with Raganuga Bhakti, and then one could go on that path also. And usually that's because previous lifetime they had already contacted Raganuga and developed attraction for Krishna. So then it's already there, and then it manifests again when they start Bhakti in this lifetime. So possible.
And Krishna, being Akhila Rasamrita Murti, his form alone should be able to manifest all the rasas. So then why are the other forms required at all? Ramachandra Narasimha.
Well, actually they're not, they're all one, they're all God. But they want to express rasa with a different form, so therefore Krishna takes a different form. They want to see a majestic form which is eternally majestic. So Krishna will, you know, he's both, so but they want to see, no, we only want to see the majesty of God, so he'll manifest Vishnu or Ramchandra, etc.
I find that in avatar, the Parashuram, he was there when Rama came. So one avatar also having a debate with another avatar.
Yeah, even when Krishna's here. Yeah, they can meet. But of course, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. And Narada Muni is a Shaktivesh avatar also, and he comes all the time in Krishna's pastimes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do you understand Vishwamitra and Vasishtha pastime? Because Vishwamitra is Kshatriya, and he
yes.
has Vishwamitra and Vasishtha.
What about him?
Vishwamitra and Vasishtha.
Who?
Vishwamitra.
Vasishtha.
So they have a competition, and then finally Vishwamitra becomes a Brahma Yogi. How do you understand? He's offending a
Well, again, we see that this type of competition is not actually the ideal position of a Brahmana, also a sage. And they get angry, etc., and they compete with each other. So, not the actual good conduct of a good Brahmana. So, we can say there's some impurity there.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
the Kindle edition of the book, we can visit Amazon website for your country. By clicking HH Bhanuswami, we can see the entire library. Let's select a book, Ever 2. Click on it to select your device. Details and complete the payment process. Books are free with Kindle Unlimited. We can get them by clicking. Type HH Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. Option Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
To get the Kindle edition of the book, we can visit Amazon website for your country. Sign in with your account. We can search the book by typing the title of the book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking H.H. Bhanuswami, we can see the entire library. Let's select a book, say Gopal Champu. On the right-hand side, we will find a drop-down box with the title Deliver To. Click on it to select your device. Click Buy Now and proceed with your login details and complete the payment process.